You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Amen. That's good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We've heard some good, some not good preaching, great preaching that we've heard this week. And this has been great, all of it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's not much left for me to say. I'm going to do the best I can, but I'll tell you, they've hit everything from Dan to Beersheba, ain't they? And it's been good. It's great. And I've enjoyed all this singing. Thank you, Brother Treiber, for allowing me to be here. And I appreciate it so much. Thank you for the nice room and the basket and all that and the food and everything that you've done. And to hear these good men of God preach has been great. And your choir and your music. And last night, man, what a service. And then to have our president to speak to us for a few minutes. And you know, he's got his hands full, don't he? But he took time to do that. That was impressive. Well, I thank the Lord for this place, and I pray for Brother Treiber in North Valley and the Golden State College and his family, and pray for you folks here and many of my friends. Just good to see you good preacher friends here. I'm glad you're here. Now, you pray for me that I'll be a help. That's all I want to be, is a help. I just want to be a help. And so if you'll look in the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis, and turn to the 45th chapter. And I'm going to read several verses to you. Thank you for the message this morning, Brother Tony. Thank you for that. And Brother Gammons, and Brother Carr, and Brother Fugig, and Brother Gravely last night, all of them. I mean, this has been something, hasn't it? Hadn't it been good? And I've enjoyed all of it. And so if you look here in Genesis 45 and verse 16. If you got your place, stand with me one more time. And verse number 16 says, "And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lay your beast, and go and get you in the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, and take you wagons out of the land of Egypt." Right there is the beginning of the bus ministry.
Amen.
Take the wagons and out of Egypt and go get them.
Amen.
And what we're doing, we ought to be living in Canaan running the wagons in Egypt, should
Amen.
We? But he was going back to Canaan, and he said, "Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt, and for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours." If you're going to get anything done for God, you're going to have to not regard stuff. God knows what you need. And don't worry about the stuff. He said, "I'm going to take care of it." And you say, "What's the stuff?" Anything you need, God takes care of. Whatever God orders, he can fill.
Amen.
And then he said in verse 21, "And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of the Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that you fall not out by the way." Now here's what Joseph was saying. You go get my dad and our families, and don't you let something
Amen.
Get you sidetracked.
Amen.
I'm sending you with provisions and with wagons. I'm giving you everything you need. You go get my dad and my family and you bring them, but you see that nothing stops you. See that you turn not out by the way. And that's what I want to talk to you about. See that you fall not out by the way. And our Father, I thank you for the good singing. It's heavenly. It's heavenly. And Lord, thank you for the good preaching. It's been so good. Every message has spoken to my heart. Lord, I thank you for this place. What a church and what a pastor. Brother Treburn, we thank you for him, his vision. Thank you for this place. God, may your hedge of protection be about it. And may your hand of provisions and blessings be upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm preaching to you on this thought. See that you fall not out by the way. Now, you know the message of Brother Fugate and Brother Carr brought this morning, sort of a lot of what they said, I'm just sort of picking up on the end of things. Not that anything can be added to anything that they said was very, very, very good. But what I'm trying to say that, you know, ministry, a lot of times it can get difficult, can't it?
Amen.
It can be tough.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of men, and I've not been in it as long as some men. I'm in my 42nd year at the church where I'm at. And I pastored 3 years before that. And so I've been pastoring about 45 years. But there's a lot of men that have fallen out by the way through the years. And some of it, you know what, could have been avoided. And brother, you and me's got to be careful. And what we have to do, you got to stay focused.
Amen.
If stay focused and remember your calling, remember what God wants you to do. But let me just say that, see that you fall not out by the way when trial and trouble comes, and it will come.
Yep.
Job said, a man's born of a woman's a few days and full of trouble.
Yeah.
You're going to have trouble.
Yep.
He said, as the sparks fly upward, a man's born under trouble. You're going to have it. I'm going to have it. You know, Dr. Curtis Hudson used to say, moving parts creates friction. If you got things going on, there's going to be problems.
Yep.
You know, there's a commercial comes on the television that says, trying to get you to buy some kind of car insurance, you know, for breakdowns. And the man comes on there, and I told my wife, I'm not, I said, he's telling the truth. He come on there and he said, if you own an automobile,
yeah.
It's going to break down.
Yeah,
I said, that's the truth if you keep driving it, ain't it? And you know, if you're in ministry and if you're saved, you ought to be in some kind of ministry. If you're saved, you ought to be doing something for God. You ought to be doing something. God didn't save you to do nothing. God saved you to win others. God saved you to do something for God. There's a will of God for everybody in this room. And what you've got to do is stay in it. Now, troubles come. And by the way, troubles come when you're not looking for it and when you didn't manufacture it. Joseph was just obeying what his dad told him to do. He said, Joseph, go down to Shechem and see it on your brothers, keeping the sheep down there. Go down and see how they're doing. And the Bible said Joseph, he had a vision. He had dreams, didn't he? He wanted to be with God and know God. And because of it, and he was loved by his brothers, I mean by his daddy more than his brothers. Now I'll tell you something, that can cause a problem. And he showed favoritism, he loved Joseph more, and his brothers knew it and they resented him. And when they seen him coming, they said, here comes that dreamer. And they said, let's just kill him and do away with him. And Reuben spoke up and said, no, he's our brother, let's not do that. Let's put him in a pit. And brother, he wasn't doing anything but what his dad told him to do, and he got in a pit. And brother, they throwed him in a pit like you'd put a wild animal in. He's in over his head with no water in there crying for mercy. And his brothers trying to figure out what to do with him. They took that coat that his mother had made him, many colors, tore it off of him, and they killed a sheep and dipped it in blood. took it back to their daddy, but before they done that, they sold Joseph as a slave to the Ishmaelites. Remember that? And they sold him as a slave. But trials come. Now, I guarantee you, Joseph didn't know what was going on. He might have been a dreamer, but he couldn't figure this one out. He didn't know what in the world was going on. Here I am, I wasn't doing anything and a wrong that I know of. I've got no sin in my life. I'm trying to do what's right, walking with God, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And here I am, over my head in a pit. And my friend, it'll happen. It'll happen to you. Trouble comes sometimes when you don't expect it. Sometimes you get blindsided by it. You're not ready for it. And sometimes it's things you can't, you can do nothing about it but sit and wait on God and do what you're supposed to do. And Joseph, though, he got put in a pit there. And they put him in the pit. So the pit came. And it'll come if you stay in the ministry. If you stay in it, you're going to have some times, dark times, hard times. It's how it is. And brother, now they didn't tell me that when I walked the aisle the night I surrendered. My preacher patted me on the back and told me he's proud of me. And a few people come by and told me, you know, we're proud of you, preacher. And I didn't really know what I was in for. You said that, Brother Carr. I had no idea. And nobody didn't tell me. It's probably a good thing they didn't. Nobody told me. But brother, let me tell you something. It wasn't long till I started pastoring a church. And folks, I got some things. If I look back, you know, I should have went to college. I didn't have any formal education, no schooling, but I should have. And I'm glad to see these young men here training and for the ministry and stuff. It would have helped me. I certainly think it would have, but I didn't know to. I really didn't. I didn't know that that I needed it. That's bad when you ain't got enough sense to know what you need, ain't it? But I didn't. And I preached for a couple of years, and a church opened up, and I went there to just help them, just to fill in. And I stayed there 3 years at that church. And then Brother Bobby Robertson was pastoring there in Walkertown, and a church in North Carolina in Mocksville, where I'm at, they needed a pastor, and Brother Bobby gave him my name. I'm being honest with you. I really didn't care about leaving where I was at. I planned to stay there the rest of my life. But I went there, and the church had a big debt, a little bitty building and a lot of debt, and, you know, had problems and all of that. But that's where God wanted me. And so, brother, let me tell you something. I can tell you something about the things, you know, being hard and difficult and lean and all of that. But the key to it is you got to stay focused and not fall out by the way. You just got to stay with it. Keep going. Every day brings something new. If you'll just stay with it one more day. I heard about a man one time that back during the gold rush, man came to the gold fields and it sold his sold his business back in the South. He sold his business, went out looking for gold, and he dug and he prospected and dug and dug and dug and didn't hit any gold. And so he sold his claim. He went home, sold all of his mules and his wagons and all of his equipment, and he went back and another man bought it. And that man came to the same place where this man was at and dug for one more day and struck gold and was a multi-millionaire. If that man would have stayed one more day, stayed focused on what he was supposed to be doing. And so, see that you fall not out by the way when trials and troubles come. Then see that you fall not out by the way because of your testimony. You know, Joseph got in that pit, and then they took him down to Egypt and traded him to Potiphar. And God was with Joseph. If you look at that 39th chapter, he was down there at Potiphar's house. He said, but the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Amen. That's the thing you got to remember. God's with you. God's with you. He promised he's with you. He said he'd be with me. Amen. And he'll be with you. If God calls you to it, God's there with you. And you remember that. So Joseph goes, now he's working for Potiphar, and it's not long until he gets promotions, and he begins to move up to where Potiphar put him over the whole house. He put him over everything there. He was a superintendent over Potiphar's house. He overseen everything. And Potiphar said to Joseph, I've got to be gone now for a while. I'll be out. You oversee everything. And the Bible said in the book of Genesis here, chapter 39, that Potiphar's wife cast her eyes on Joseph. No doubt Joseph was a nice looking young man and strong, and God was with him, had a good spirit. And that woman made a play for him, and she went after him. She went after him. And let me tell you, you got to keep yourself right.
Amen.
Keep yourself right. Somebody said it up here during this question and answer. Stay in love with your wife.
Amen.
Stay in love with your wife. I've been married this fall 53 years. I met my wife in high school, led her to Christ. Led my wife, I knew her just a little while, led her to Jesus. Took her to church, they baptized her. I graduated the next year out of high school and married her. We got married. I got out of high school. I was barely 18. We got married. You said, did you know much about marriage? No. No, it's took me 53 years. But I'll tell you what I did have enough sense to know is I loved her.
Amen.
And I had enough sense to stay in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And when the man of God preached something, we tried to practice it. And we'd be back the next service. And we didn't miss. I said, we're not going to miss church. And I'd never been to a counseling session. I had never had anybody tell me nothing. But when I got married, I loved my wife and stayed in love with her, and in love with her today more than I've ever been in my life.
Amen.
Thank God for her.
Amen.
I love her.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Joseph didn't even have a wife. It'd probably been a good thing for you. He got one a little later, but he needed one then, didn't he, when Potiphar's wife was after him. She cast her eyes on him, and she didn't just do it one time. She come after him. And old Joseph, he didn't make many mistakes, but you know, I see one. He was in that place in there where that woman could get a chance to get to him. And she got so close, she grabbed his garment. And he run out of his coat, and she got his coat, but she didn't get his convictions. He run, and she lied on him. She told a lie on him and said this man tried to take advantage. What it was, she was embarrassed. She said, they brought this Hebrew in and he tried to take advantage of me. But you know something he did? He went to prison, but he kept his testimony.
Amen.
Kept his testimony. Keep your testimony.
Amen.
I tell him around the church all the time, I don't hug other women. I don't hug them here, and I don't hug them at my place. The only person, woman, I'd hug my wife, my daughters, my granddaughters, my grandma. Of course, my grandmother and my mother died a month ago. But listen, you better watch yourself. I don't flirt with women. I don't tell them they look good. Let their wife tell them they look good. That's not my job. I don't do it. I don't do it. Listen, you say, well, they might think you're sticking in the mud. That's okay. I got to worry about my testimony.
Amen.
I'm not unkind. But you better watch yourself. You got a testimony. You better watch testimony about your temper. You better watch your testimony about how you talk to people. You know, you was talking about Brother Bobby a while ago. Brother Bobby was in a Winston-Salem, he was in a restaurant with another preacher, and they was eating a meal together. And the girl come and brought the meal on a platter, on a tray. And when she got to Brother Bobby and this other preacher's table, she stumbled, and she turned that tray over right on top of Brother Bobby, went all over him. And the girl, she just went to pieces. She started apologizing. Brother Bobby stood up and tried to brush himself off a little bit, you know, got that napkin and got the wiping himself down. That girl's crying. She said, "Sir, I'm so sorry." Brother Bobby said, "Ma'am, you didn't mean to do that. I know you didn't. You didn't mean that. You didn't mean to do that." She said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "Look, I'll take your suits and shirt to the dry cleaners and this tie," and said, "it'll be okay." And he said, you're all right?" He said, "Don't you worry about this." He said, "I'll go home and change. It'll be okay."
Yeah.
He said, "Just bring me another order of what I ordered a while ago." And so the girl went in the back. Listen to this. This unsaved girl, they'd been trying to witness to her. They'd been trying to witness to her. She went in the back where the food was, and she said, "I finally met one. I finally met one." And the owner was back there. He said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I finally met a Christian. I met a Christian out there." The owner come out there and talked to Brother Bobby. He said, "Thank you for witnessing to my little waitress back there." And Brother Bobby said, "I hadn't witnessed to her." He said, "Oh, yes, you did." Yes, you did. Folks, we got to keep our testimony. Got to keep your testimony. Be careful about things. Be careful about things. Listen, your testimony means so much. You know, Nathan the prophet went in to David after David had messed up and said, "David," he said, "you've given great occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme." Oh, let me tell you something. Then see that you fall not out by the way. I got to hurry. See that you fall not out by the way because the task is so great.
Yeah,
folks, let me tell you, Brother Tony just got done saying, this thing's really not about us. It's about getting the gospel out.
Amen.
The most important message in the world is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world.
Amen.
That's what it's about. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even unto the uttermost part of the earth."
Amen.
Everywhere we go, we ought to be soul winning. They'll be witnessing. Get the message out.
Amen.
And brother, you got to stay. You got to stay by the stuff and not fall out by the way, because the task is so great. I've heard preachers say that we don't need you, or this, that. Look, we do need you.
Amen.
You know what Jesus said? Jesus looked at them disciples and he said, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labor into the harvest." He didn't say that they'll send forth church members.
Yeah.
He said, "We need workers."
Amen.
We need people that'll get on these bus routes and work them. And we need men that are able-bodied and stout and strong to go get your CDL license and let your pastor know it.
Amen.
And be willing to drive a Sunday school bus. You know, I was on a Sunday school bus. I still am every Sunday. And I had a stroke in my right eye that put it out. My right eye's out. So when I went to get my license, they took my CDL. They still let me have my car license. I can't drive much at night, but I can drive a car, thank God. But they took the CDL, can't drive. And there's many Sundays, we're short of a driver. I said, "Man, I wish they hadn't taken them CDLs. I'd jump in that seat and wheel that thing today and pick up people for the glory of God." Let me tell you something, listen to me. We need workers that'll get you some tracks and get out there and lead people to Jesus Christ. Get the gospel out. The preacher's talking about starting churches. Did you say, preacher, how many hundreds of churches you'd started in the Philippines? 400 churches. Just think about the people that'll be reached through 400 churches, and them churches will start churches.
Amen.
Folks, if we don't, and it's sad, and I don't know the statistics, but there's churches, Brother Tom, all over America that are closing doors. There's buildings sitting everywhere that some young man that's been called of God to preach ought to get him a building, get a building, brother, and start from that building and get out in the highways and hedges and pray and get a vision of reaching people. And you're not going to reach people sitting in a leather chair in an office somewhere with air conditioning blowing. You got to get out where they are. You have to get out there, you see. There's too much of that. Brother, we got to listen, get back to doing it the Bible way. The task is great, and men are lost without God, you see. You know what Joseph told him? It was all about the task. When his brothers, after his daddy died, Joseph, when his brother said, "Well, he'll kill us now," Joseph said, "No." He said, "No." He said, "You meant that thing for bad." In Genesis chapter 50, verse 19, he said, "You meant it for bad. God meant it for good." He said, "As it is this day, to save much people alive." To save people alive. It's about getting the gospel out, getting people saved. And you still got to do it. You know, here this past week, there was a woman visited our church, and she come a few services, and one of the men and his wife had invited her. He's a preacher. "I don't believe she's saved." And me and my wife went last Thursday. We went and found where she lived, knocked on the door. Nobody came to the door. We went and we actually left. We didn't think it was the right place. We left and I said, "Go back down there. That's got to be it." And we went and knocked on the back door, and a man stuck his head out the door in another house there and said, she don't use that door. Go around the other side." We ran around the other side of the house, and she was sitting on the back porch.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Think about this. She stood up. Me and my wife walked up, and she said, "Preacher, I wasn't expecting you to come." She said, "I was sitting here just drowned in my sorrows." She said, "My son died 4 months ago." I didn't even know about that. Didn't know her at that time. Had a boy died 4 months ago today. She said, 3 years ago, I had another got killed in a motorcycle. And I was sitting here, and she said, "I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't care if I just died myself." She said, and she started just weeping. And I called her by name. I said, "Sue, that's why God sent us here tonight."
Yep.
She said, "Well, how did you know?" I said, "I didn't know. I said, it's God." And I was able to sit down there with Sue with an open New Testament and lead Sue to Jesus Christ. She is at church Sunday, and I thank God for it. Let me tell you something, folks. They're everywhere out there. They're everywhere. They're in apartment complexes. They're at gas stations. They're at Walmart. They're in townhouses. They're in trailer parks. They're all over this country. And people that need the gospel. Listen to me. See that you fall not out by the way because of the task that's so great. See that you fall not out by the way because of your testimony. I want to keep my testimony. Folks, just stick with it. You know, I've had people say, "Well, how much longer are you going to go? What are you planning to do?" I'm trying to do everything I can do. But one thing I can do, I can keep standing. I can keep preaching. I can keep witnessing. I can stay on that bus ride. I can keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't want to fall out by the way. For your testimony, for the task, and in the trouble. See that you fall not out by the way. One night I was in a meeting with old Brother Bobby, and me was preaching together. We stayed in the same house, Bobby Robertson. And Brother Bobby said, "Brother Darrell, did I ever show you this?" And he had this piece of paper. And I said, "I don't know, Brother Bobby. And here's what it says." He said, "Lester Roloff gave me this. And it says here, 'The path of man is too dark. The cross of Christ is too glorious. And the heart of God is too grieved for me to quit now.'" Amen. Said Lester Roloff. Think about that. Old Brother Bobby had that brain cancer, and they took him in there. Brother Treber and the doctors give him his chances to live, which wasn't much. And he said, "But you've got to have this operation if you have any chance." And Brother Bobby said to him, he said, "Well, let's have it." He said, "I got a church to pastor. Let's get it done." I want to say this right here. I'm not going to fall out by the way because of the tender flock that's following me.
Amen.
You know, there's lambs, preacher. Listen to me. There's lambs that if you quit, they won't make it. Remember when old Jacob, remember when his brother caught up with him, Esau was going to kill him, and Jacob met him and gave him all that crown of gifts, animals and all that. You remember that? And then, let me just read this to you and I'll quit. Look at Genesis, I believe it's chapter 33. Turn all the way back there. Let me just read this to you and I'll stop. I think it's the right place. I ain't got it wrote down, but I think it is. Oh, Esau was going after Jacob. And he met him, and Jacob gave him the gifts, gave him all those gifts and animals and all that. Now listen to what he said in verse 11, 33 it looks like. Chapter 33, verse 11. Take, I pray thee, my blessing, and he's talking about them gifts, that is brought to thee because God hath dealt graciously with me, because I have enough. And he urged him and he took it. And he said, let us take our journey and let us go and I'll go before thee. And he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender and the flocks and herds are with young, are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Look right here, he said, if a man don't know what he's doing, he'll drive them too hard. He'll drive them too hard, preacher. And he said, you'll kill them. Listen to this right here. You know something? I love my church. I love the people who call me pastor. I love them. And there's been some times I got so discouraged. Boy, I'd think, you know what? Maybe somebody else come take it. Then I get to think about how much I love them. And I get to thinking about that and I think, you know what? Somebody else comes, they might not love them like I love them.
Amen.
They might not love them like I love them.
Yeah.
And there'll be some young convert might not make it. There'll be some teenage boy might not make it. So I have to keep going and stay in the way.
Amen.
Just don't fall out by the way.
Amen.
Just keep on doing what you're supposed to be doing. Stay focused.
Amen.
Stay filled. Stay in the fight.
Amen.
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 I hope this has helped you.
Amen.
I hope it has.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. You know, there might be somebody here that ain't even saved. If you're not saved, friend, you get up and you come to the Lord Jesus today as your Savior. You come and receive Him today as your Savior. But there may be somebody here today. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be a bus worker or a nursery worker. You may be a youth director. You might be a choir member. And you said, preacher, I'll be honest with you. Having gone through it, I just thought about just getting out of it. Let me tell you, that's not the answer. The answer is to just stay. See that you fall not out by the way. Let's stand to our feet. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? You say, well, I'm not. Won't you come and just say, I want to stay in it. I want to stay by the way. I want to stay. God being my help, I'll stay with it. God will help me. I'll stay with it.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.